We are going to, you know, last week we talked about, you know, one of the life is a choice messages that I've done off and on, and choose life or death. And as I was studying that, just there was things that I was, as I was studying, it was prompted in me that to continue in that direction. So that's what we're going to do again today. So our, you know, the foundation verse is Deuteronomy 30:19. Pretty good. Pretty soon you should have this memorized if you don't already. Deuteronomy 30:19 is, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. And that is what we're going to talk about today, that phrase, choose life. One of the things that I saw when I was, you know, as I said, as I was studying for last week's message, I read a phrase, and when I read that phrase, it just jumped out at me. And so that's what, you know, that's what I felt impressed to pursue and to follow. And that phrase is, there is no life outside of Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, to me, it just hit me. There is no life outside of Jesus Christ. Amen. So in other words, you know, we're alive, you know, we're alive, whether you're born again or not, you're alive, but not the kind of life that we're talking about here. And the thing is, you know, being alive can be more about existing and survival than actually living. And so I think, you know, there's a lot of people that are existing instead of living. The sad part is there's a lot of Christians that are existing and surviving instead of living. So we're going to talk about the word and today about life, and hopefully it will help you get a hold of something that you haven't gotten a hold of yet, so that, you know, we will begin to, you know, to take more steps forward in who we actually are in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen? So this statement is based on 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And then verse 11 of chapter 5 of 1 John, that is interesting, you know, what was said this morning already kind of was an introduction to, you know, some of the things we're going to talk about today. It says, and this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And the life we're talking about here is Zoe, which is the wrong way of saying it, but I don't remember how Elaine said you're supposed to say it. So if you want to know how to actually say that word, see Elaine later and she'll tell you how you actually should say it. But Wayne always said Zoe, so that's the way that I learned it, so that's the way I'm going to use it today. And, you know, there's like three different words for life in the Bible or in the New Testament. And so, you know, but the word we're going to talk about today, every one of them is Zoe. So, you know, you're familiar with the word Zoe. You're familiar with the definition. But once again, I'm just believing that we are going to get a hold. The Holy Spirit is just going to spark something within us today to take us farther in to that life and to experience more of that life. So the definition of life is, you know, there's different places that I looked, gave little different things. And so tell you what I discovered when I looked up this word Zoe. It says, life real and genuine, a life active and vigorous, devoted to God, blessed, and to last forever. Because when we're talking about life, when we're talking about eternal life, everlasting life, you know, that's what we're talking about, Zoe. The uncreated eternal life of God. I thought that was, I've never seen that before. The uncreated life of God. So God didn't create life. God didn't create Zoe. It always was, because it's God. So this life that we're talking about here, and as we, you know, hopefully you're going to get excited about this, as I have when I studied it, when you start to begin to realize, you know, what this means to us. So the uncreated eternal life of God, the divine life uniquely possessed by God, and then Brother Hagin always called it the God kind of life. So think about life as God has it, because that's what we're talking about. The life as God has it, and then as we already read, this life is in his Son, and so, you know, we belong to him and we belong to his Son. So, you know, start getting a hold of what this means to you. So tell me some things, you know, if you're thinking about how God's life is, tell me some things that you would expect, you know, you believe that God's life is like. Healing, okay. Peaceful? Joyful? Let me say joyful.
Abundant.
Pardon?
Intense.
Okay.
Giving.
Energetic.
Long-suffering.
Gentleness.
Goodness.
Faith.
Merciful.
Pardon?
Exciting.
Pardon?
Creative.
Awesome.
I have a couple. I have wisdom.
God is wisdom
and solves problems. Now what I want you to think about this, realize this life is yours. So as we're going through this, realize this is not just God's traits. Every single thing that you said and more that we haven't said, we are supposed to be experiencing.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. This is, I read this in a book by John G. Lake. And this man is just more, yeah, anyhow. So listen to this. You're not going to grasp it all with me just reading it, but hopefully you, because I've read it several times and it's still, wow. So this is what we're talking about. This is this life that we're talking about that we received when we became born again. This is what we're supposed to be, okay? It says, God comes to make you a master. That is the purpose of his indwelling in a Christian. The real child of God was to be a master over every other power of darkness in the world. It was to be subject to him. He is to be God's representative in the world. The Holy Ghost in the Christian was to be as powerful as the Holy Ghost was in Christ. Indeed, Jesus' words go to such an extreme that they declare, greater works than these shall you do, in John 14:12. It indicates that the mighty Holy Ghost from heaven in the lives of the Christian was to be more powerful in you and in me after Jesus got to heaven and ministered him to our souls than he was in Jesus. What I want to bring to you is that the Spirit of God, the Divine Master, the eternal power of God, the combined life and presence by the Spirit of the Father and the Son is given to you, not to leave you a weakling and subject to all kinds of powers of darkness, but to make you a master, to give you dominion in God over every devilish force that ever was.
Wow!
Wow!
Hallelujah!
You know, if you were getting a hold of any of that, you'd be jumping up and down and yelling. I guarantee it.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. That's who we are. That's who God has made us to be through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 What does it tell us in Luke 10:19? Behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. 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 Hallelujah. And then another place, it's either in the end of Matthew or the end of Mark, is all authority has been given to me, you go. And when we go in him and him and us, all the we walk in all authority.
Amen.
So how do we get this? Well, you know this, John 3:7. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. If you want this kind of life, the kind of life that we're talking about, you must be born again. John 3:3, he says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, we need to recognize, if you don't already, just because you're born again does not mean you're going to experience the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You know, you get born again and you're going, you know, we expect that you're going to heaven. But for you to experience the life that we're talking about here today is in the kingdom of God. So for us to experience the life, you know, for us to live in the kingdom of God, we have to experience this life. And if we're not experiencing this life, then we need to find out why. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 2.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin of death. So we have this law. It's legal. It's not just, oh, this would be nice. No, it's a law. It's a law. This Spirit of life, it's a law. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have been transferred. No longer death and destruction. Now we are life. We're always life. Everything about us is supposed to exude life. We're supposed to be experiencing life. We're supposed to demonstrate life. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Salvation is the conscious taking of yourself out of the law of death and putting yourself into the conscious control of the law of life. So it's a conscious thing. We have to decide that. You know, so much of the time people get born again, you know, we get born again, and what is our focus? You know, and then what do? We go back to our old lifestyle. We go back to so much of the past, you know, and sometimes we win, sometimes we lose, you know. We go make progress, you know, take one step forward, two steps back, you know, and we figure, well, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. You know, in the way I was, you know, the way I was brought up, you know, well, you know, you're just stuck here on your own, kind of on here, you know, in the earth. You know, you're just kind of on your own, and you just, whatever happens, happens. And, you know, God does this, and God doesn't do this. And, you know, if things go wrong, well, maybe God's trying to teach me something, you know. I would like to be healed. Yes, God, you know, it would be nice to be healed. But if God doesn't heal me, then, well, there's some reason. And all this religious garbage that, you know, that goes on in the church. But it's so contrary to what the Word of God says. Amen. So I have to choose to live this life. I have to do something about it. It's just not going to happen. And it's not a works thing that we're talking about, but I do have to do something. I do have to do some stuff. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So the question, you know, we've heard this verse over and over again. I can remember, you know, one of my favorite pastors as a kid, you know, I remember that he used this verse. He had more revelation on it than anybody else I'd known, but he didn't have as much revelation on it, as, you know, understanding of it, I should say, as we have today. But we need more understanding. We need more revelation of this because, what we see still in the church so much of the time, our focus is on the first part instead of the second part. We focus on everything the thief's doing. Things go wrong. What do we focus on? We focus on fighting the devil instead of focusing who the answer is, the source of life. We're supposed to be looking to the source of life. I have come that you have life. I don't care what he's done. I have victory over him. It doesn't matter anything because I'm going to focus on the source of life because that's where my victory is. I guarantee you, the more you focus on the thief and what he's doing, I guarantee you, you will not be victorious. Guarantee it. Amen. Because whatever we focus on, that's what's going to happen. Amen. So if you want victory, you focus on the answer. Amen. You focus on who you are. Amen. You focus on the life source. That's where victory is. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Once again today, I feel like Doc. Oh, if you could only get a hold of this. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. So let's look at the law of life here. Let's look at what some of the scriptures about the law of life. John 6, verse 63. It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So what Jesus is saying this. So the words of Jesus. You know, I was just reading one of the places I was reading, and it talked about, you know, the words of the apostles is great. But always you go back to the words of Jesus. That's why it's so important for us to get a hold of what's in the gospel, because God is speaking. You have no, you know, God is speaking. Anytime the words of Jesus, that's God speaking. So that's our fail-safe. Go back to the words of Jesus. Jesus says here, my words bring life. My words bring life. You want life, look at the words of Jesus. What is the words of Jesus saying? Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. You know this verse. I'm going to read it in the Weiss translation. Really like the translation for this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. With Christ, I have been crucified. You know, we've gone over the scripture not that long ago. We did it's one of our weekly things. And it's no longer I who live, but there lives in me Christ. We need to get a hold of that.
We need to meditate on that. We need to use our imagination and see that. We need to experience that. We need to feel it. We need to visualize it. However you can do it to see that Jesus is in you. Jesus is in me. The light of Jesus is in me. The life of Jesus is in me. The love of Jesus is in me. As he is, that's who I am. I don't care whether I feel like it or not. That's who I am. If I focus on who, you know, how I feel instead of who I am, then I'm never going to get to there who I am. I'm never going to be walking in this life. I'm never going to be experiencing it, demonstrating this life that is available to me. Praise God, praise God, praise God. And that life which now I live in the sphere of the flesh, by faith I live it, which faith is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself on my behalf. That is the life. That life is who we are and not what we do. You got to recognize that. That's why, you know, so much of the time, you know, we've been there, and so much of the church is about what I do. It's about works. It's about, you know, how much I give. It's about, you know, how much I read the Bible, or how much I pray, or, you know, the good works I do, or how nice I am to people. And it's all about what I do, what I do, what I do. But it's not about what I do. It's about who I am. If I experience who I am, what I do is just going to come naturally. It's going to line up with the Word of God. It's going to line up with Jesus and everything that he is. When I get a hold of that life of who I am, what I do just goes along with it. The things that I'm supposed to do just goes along with it. Praise God, praise God. John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am. This is who he is. Who he is. As he is, so are we. He is in us. I am in him. So if he's the bread of life, that is in me. That life is in me. That bread is the source, you know, the food that I need, my sustenance. That's who I am. That's what's in me. Never hunger. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He will never be needy. I will never be needy when in him. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. That is those who, that thirst is those who painfully feel their want of and eagerly long for those things by which the soul is refreshed. I will never have that. I will never have that missing thing that I can't get a hold of in him. In that life, everything that I could desire, everything that I ever need is in him. In that life is in me. I am in him. He is in me. Praise God, praise God, praise God. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He's talking to the woman at the well. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Once again, he says, I am. This is who I am. I am resurrection. I am life. And when we believe in him, though we die, we're going to live. And what we're talking about, what he's talking about here, because this word live, is to enjoy real life. That is to have the true life and worthy of the name, active, blessed, endless in the kingdom of God. And though we may die, and what did we just read? When we got born again, we died. At least we're supposed to have died. We just read, I have been crucified with Christ. I'm dead. You know, I was crucified. I was killed. I died. I went to hell. I rose again with him. Amen. So I died. So now I have this wonderful life that's available. I can now enjoy real life. Amen. I don't have to be discouraged. I don't have to be depressed. I don't have to be sick. I don't have to be, you know, hopeless. I don't have to be discouraged. I don't have to experience all these negative things all the time. I have life. I have the life of God in me. I have life as God has it. That is what is in me. That is what is in you. Amen. That's where our focus needs to be. Not on everything that's going wrong around us. Not on what's going on out there, but who I am in here. Focus on who I am in him. That life is in me. That life. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way. Says, with whom all who seek to approach God must enter into closest fellowship with Jesus. If you want to get to God, you've got to have a fellowship with Jesus. You've got to have fellowship. It's not just that, you know, that we're born again and, you know, like I said, you know, we're ups and downs and, you know, whatever happens. You know, I have a rotten week this week and, oh, yeah, church was good, but I go back and have a rotten week again and this goes wrong and that goes wrong, you know. I have life in Jesus. I am in Christ. I have fellowship with him. Every day I have fellowship with him. 24 hours a day, I have fellowship with him. It's not that, you know, that I'm, you know, consciously focusing on him every minute, but he's there. He's with me. Praise God. He's in me. He's around me. Praise God. The truth. He says, I am he in whom the truth is summed up and impersonated. Yeah, impersonated. So if you want to know who you're supposed to be, look at Jesus. Everything that you want to be, everything that you need to be is in Jesus. Hallelujah. We're talking about relationship, not works. Relationship. You know, we've been talking about this for years now, but relationship. It's not about what we do. It's about who we are. It's about who that relationship that we have with him. If you want your life to be changed, focus on the relationship. Don't focus on you have to stop doing this and you have to start doing this and I've got to read my Bible more and I've got to pray more. Those things are true, but don't focus on that. Don't put your main focus on it. The reason for reading the word is to work on your relationship with God. The reason for praying is because you're spending time in fellowship with Jesus. That's the reason for it, not because I have to do this and to get my brownie points, you know, all these things that I have to do. Focus on that relationship. Focus on spending time with him. Focus on getting a hold of that life. Recognizing, you know, experiencing that life. And in that life is his love. It's his majesty. It's his glory. It's everything about him is in that life. Everything we could ever want, everything we could ever dream of is in that life. If you don't know how to figure out something, it's in that life. If you don't know how to pay for something, it's in that life. If you don't know, you know, if you're sick and you don't know how to get well, it's in that life. Everything imaginable that you could ever want. If you're having problems with your kids, it's in that life. If you're having problems in your marriage, it's in that life. If you're having problems with any relationship, it's in that life. Hallelujah. Everything, it's in that life. And we don't have to go to get it. It is already in there. We just have to learn how to tap into it and live it and experiencing it. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. John 17, 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you. As I said, it's about relationship. The one true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. This is eternal life, that they may know you. That's the whole thing. The whole thing with God is he wants to know us. He wants to have a relationship. It's his whole reason for sending Jesus. He wants an intimate relationship with every single one of us. That's what they didn't have in the old covenant. It was limited. You know, we hear about Moses, and Moses had a fantastic relationship with God. David had a fantastic relationship with God. Different ones had fantastic, but now God wants everybody to have that fantastic relationship with him. That's what's available. That's what belongs to us. Not because we have done anything to deserve it. Just simply because of his love for us. He wants to just demonstrate his love in us and through us. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Deuteronomy 30, verse 20. Read this verse last week. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. God is your life. Jesus is your life. If you want to experience long life, not long existence, not long survival, it's in God. It's in Jesus. It's in that relationship. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Last scripture, Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Christ is our life. He is my life. He is your life. There's just so much available to us. Praise God in him. I want to go back and read what I read in the beginning, the John G. Lake thing again, just to hopefully you get a little more handle on this. God comes to make you a master. That is the purpose of his indwelling in a Christian. The real child of God was to be a master over every power of darkness in the world. It was to be subject to him. He is to be God's representative in the world. Or what kind of representatives are we of God? And don't look at it as being, you know, condemning or, you know, but just think, you know, this, no, there's more for me. There's more for me. I am not experiencing what I'm supposed to be experiencing. I want it all. I don't know about you, but I want it all. Amen. Praise God. The Holy Ghost in the Christian was to be as powerful as the Holy Ghost was in Christ. Think about the Holy Ghost in Jesus. What did Jesus do? He went about preaching, healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead. What did he say? What did he say? Tell the disciples, freely you have received, freely give. We've received all the same things the disciples did. It's all in us. Everything is in us. That life is in us. It may be in seed form, but it's in us. And it's up to us whether it's going to develop or not. Totally up to us. Life is a choice. Choose life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Indeed, Jesus' words go to such an extreme that they declare that greater works than these shall you do. It indicates that the mighty Holy Ghost from heaven in the lives of the Christian was to be more powerful in you and in me after Jesus got to heaven and ministered him to our souls than he was in Jesus. It's impossible to grasp intellectually. In meditation with him, you know, I believe that we can gain experiencing tapping into what that is, but you can't figure it out in your head. You've got to just experience so much of this life. Can't explain it. You can only experience it. Praise God. Hallelujah. It indicates that the mighty Holy Ghost from heaven in the lives of the Christian was to be more powerful in you and in me after Jesus got to heaven and ministered him to our souls than he was in Jesus. What I want to bring to you is that the Spirit of God, the divine master, the eternal power of God, the combined life and presence by the Spirit of the Father and the Son is given to you. It's just, when you think about who God is, just, you know, sometimes just think about everything God is. You know, when we were talking about life as God has it. Well, think about that. You know, you were kind of short on, you know, kind of iffy on your answers this morning. Think about everything that the life of God is like, the life of Jesus is like, the life of the Holy Spirit is like. And then you've got to get a hold of, that's in me. The creative ability is in me. No, I'm not going to create like God created, but God put creative ability in me. You have creative ability in you. You have life in you. You have, when you lay hands on people, the power and might and glory of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit flows through your body and out your hands as you touch people. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. What I want to bring to you is that the Spirit of God, the divine master, the eternal power of God, the combined life and presence by the Spirit of the Father and the Son is given to you, not to leave you a weakling and subject to all kinds of powers of darkness, and to make you a master, but to make you a master, to give you dominion in God over every devilish force that ever was. You know, there's a lot of, self-help kind of things and motivational, you know, you can find all sorts of motivational books and messages and everything out there, and you can tap into that, and I've read a lot of them, and you can get into that, and you can, you know, no matter what it's for, exercise or eating or whatever it is, you know, this motivation and do this and do this and do this, you know, to get your, and you've got to psych yourself up, and you've got to, you know, do this and do this and do this. It's not, yes. But in this, it's not me. The work is already done. It's already done. I just have to learn how to tap into it. I just have to learn how to connect to it because it's already in me. My success is in me. Whatever success you need this morning, whether it's school, whether it's learning, whether it's educational, whether it's a business, whether it's a job, whether it's relationship, whatever success you need this morning, whatever success you're looking for this morning, it is in your life in Christ. Amen. That life, the guy that created everything is inside of you. You don't think he can figure out how to solve problems? You know, you have something you got to figure out on the job. You don't think he can give you the answer? Amen. You know, as a mom, you know, as a parent raising your kids, your child is acting a certain way, and you don't think that the God who created that child is not in you to give you every answer on how to raise up your kids in the way they should go? Amen. Kids, this isn't for just adults. This is for you guys too. God has answers for you. God wants you to experience him. You don't have to wait till you grow up to experience God. Amen. To experience his love, to experience how much he loves you. It is so wonderful when you sit there and just experience, just feel the love that is flowing into you and around you that is God's love. There's nothing like it. Amen. And you don't have to grow up to experience that. You're never too young, you're never too old. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. This is who we are. Believe that we're going to get a hold of this. We're going to get, you know, that as we end this year and go into the next year, that every day we're going to get a little bit more. And every week we're going to get a little bit more. And every month we're going to get a little bit more. Because this is what God wants for his church. This is what God wants for us individually. This is what God wants for us to as his body, that we demonstrate his life to the world around us. You don't have to advertise for people to come to your church when you've got the life of God flowing out of the congregation. Amen. That's who we are. Amen. That's who you are. We don't have to stay where we are now. Amen. Life can just keep getting better and better. Amen. And I know it will. The more we tap into this, the more we and it's an individual, I've said before, it's an individual thing. How what I need to do, what I have done to tap into this. There's principles. It comes back to the word and spending time with God. But you may find, you know, what works for you, you know, how you do it, is probably different than what works for me. Your job is to do something about it. Not just to leave the message here today and just say, yeah, that was great, but I don't know how to do it. Well, yes, you do. How do I know you know? Because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is inside of you. And the word says, you draw near to him and he will draw near to you. If you actually want your life to change, if you actually want your life, you know, to experience this life and to demonstrate this life, you start turning towards him and he will show you what to do the next step. And then the thing is, okay, he shows you something, do it. Maybe a big thing, maybe a little thing. You may not understand even why you're going to do what you're going to do, but just do it. Take a step. Praise God.